Today, Noah Rubin is back. We are going through some Summer League takeaways, recent player news, the huge Pat Beverley news going to Israel. It's time for Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of Fantasy Basketball International. My name is Adam King. I'm your host at AdamKing91 on Twitter is where you will find me. Joining me as always, Noah Rubin, host of the Tank Me Later podcast. Noah, a little bit later today, which was nice. I was able to sleep in a little bit. My kids are at home. My wife's overseas, so I'm just home for the week. So I thought, why not go a bit later?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was fine with me. My wife's out of town, so it works out nicely as well because I'm just free whenever. I got basketball on the TV now, so I'm just chilling. So whenever
two
whenever
bachelors just living our best life.
Exactly.
With Summer League going on in the background. So we will cover Summer League today from a fantasy perspective, probably a bit of dynasty perspective as well. But I thought we'd just touch on any recent news that's sort of happened. Not much has happened in the last week since we last spoke. If I work my way through, actually one that I do want to start with, and this is an Atlanta-related player, I guess, Vit Krejci, who signed a four-year, $10 million deal with the Hawks. What are your thoughts on him? Because I thought he flashed some stuff late last year in the Tank Me Later league. I dropped Corey Joseph, who I had for some reason, and picked up Vit Krejci because he was just sitting there doing nothing. I don't know. Do you think, is there a role for him at all?
In standard fantasy leagues, no. But on the Hawks, yes. And in deeper fantasy leagues, like your classic 30-team dynasty, then yeah, I think he will be able to get enough minutes. He's a fun story because, I mean, he's been around a couple of years, but he's another, I guess, semi or just success story from Atlanta's G League team. Same thing with Jalen Johnson, just different, smaller scale. They developed him by giving him minutes there, and he did play well down the stretch last season. If I'm remembering it correctly, they like didn't offer him a standard contract for financial reasons so that they could sign him to a longer-term deal that benefited them more, if I'm remembering that correctly. But it also helps because he played really well against Chicago during the regular season, and then he was playing and ended up with the number one pick. So shout out to Vit Krejci. Now he's going to be in Atlanta for a while. If there's injuries, then sure, there's some minutes for him. But for the most part, he's just going to be a rotation guy that plays well for the Hawks, but not necessarily much of a fantasy guy right now.
No, it's I was happy he was just sitting there, so I got him for nothing.
Better than Corey Joseph.
Much better than Corey Joseph. So I guess if I work my way through, we have a look. Obviously, Jalen Brunson signed that deal with the Knicks. Took a bit of a pay cut to allow them some flexibility with signing other players. I mean, it doesn't surprise me coming from Jalen Brunson. Like, I know LeBron is going to take a pay cut to allow flexibility, and he took $2 million less or something, $3 million less. But yeah, look, I mean, Jalen Brunson took in the long run, probably not a huge hit, but at the moment it was a pretty significant hit. I mean, any thoughts on that? Does it surprise you that he did that? And do you think it helps the Knicks with being able to sign some other guys and Mikal Bridges to a long-term deal and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I guess just maybe more broadly, what are your thoughts on the Knicks? Are they ready to take that next step now?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as they traded for Mikal Bridges, I was like, wow, like this team could win a championship. And now that they have financial flexibility to continue to add to this team because of Jalen Brunson just making a selfless move. Like, I mean, in comparison, I don't know the exact dollar amount that he missed out on, but like he's still going to get over $150 million over the next 4 years. And he's already made a lot of millions of dollars. He's doing okay. I think that's kind of the, you know, in comparison to NBA players, like, obviously he's not getting paid to his talent, but like, my wife's not into sports. So when I tell her these contracts that these players are getting, she's just like, it's mind boggling. So like, she's just, I just don't get it. So, I think he's still doing okay. Still, he'll still be able to, you know, make rent, you know, he'll be okay.
I think so,
but yeah, now they have a chance to win a championship. So I think it just shows what he cares about. And it just shows that he's very serious about winning. And I'm not saying that that is for every star player to do, but I think like, it's not like he signed for like the vet minimum, like he's going to get paid pretty well. So if it gives them a little bit of flexibility to add a little bit more talent and they're able to win a championship, then hey, it'll be worth it. I'm sure if they don't end up winning a championship during his time at the Knicks, then he's going to be like, yeah, I wish I would have taken the extra $3 million, whatever it was. But if they win rings, I don't think he'll care because endorsement money, other things like that, like he'll make up for it.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing him living on the streets anytime soon. So he'll be fine. All right, scrolling up. Yeah, we don't need to talk about Taj Gibson.
gosh, if they would have just given him like a massive deal, like thank you, Jalen Brunson. Now we can make Tom Thibodeau happy. 3 years, $30 million for Taj Gibson. Let's get him in here.
As I said, Pat Beverley is apparently on his way out of the NBA. Off to Israel to play for Tel Aviv, I think it was that I read somewhere.
I believe so.
Yeah, no, obviously nothing to talk about fantasy-wise. Are you surprised, though? Like, do you think he still had a role somewhere, and do you think we see him back in the NBA at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely could have signed with a team, and I'm sure there were teams that were interested. The quote from his podcast's Twitter account said that his quote was, "They gave me everything I asked for. I couldn't refuse." So I don't know how much money he's getting. I don't know if there's other perks alongside of that that enticed him to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, go overseas. I'm not going to play the NBA right now. But I would assume, unless they've literally just thrown him so much money and endorsements and all these other things to get him to come over there and continue to do that, that maybe he will come back to the NBA. But I mean, if it made that much sense for him, then I'd like, sure, go ahead and have fun. I'm sure he'll have a larger offensive role, I would assume. So that'll probably be fun for him as well.
Yep, and he'll probably have quite a lot of flexibility socially as well. I would think they'll just do whatever you want to do as long as you turn up for the game, as long as you turn up for training, go and do whatever you want to do with whoever you want to do it with. Probably the only, I guess, move that probably fantasy-wise, not huge, but Gary Trent signing with the Bucks for 1 year, which I think is a good pickup for them in terms of real life. I think it helps them with their ability to spread the floor. He basically comes in and replaces Malik Beasley, who's gone over to Detroit. What are your thoughts here? Like, does this sort of move the needle in terms of Gary Trent's fantasy value, or he is who he is and he hits threes, he gets some steals? That's sort of it. But is he going to play enough on this Bucks team?
I think he's just going to slide in and be the starting shooting guard with Malik Beasley gone. So I could still see him getting, I mean, he played 28 minutes per game last year. I could see him getting that. We just need the steals to go back up to what they were the previous two seasons for him to have much fantasy value outside of just, you know, 2.5 threes and a steal. Like, that's something. It's not a ton. But I think, like you said, a real-life move, I think it is good for the Bucks. It is an upgrade for them. And now for fantasy, it's not a bad spot. It's not a great spot. It's probably better than it was last year, but I don't know, not moving the needle. Like you said, late round target. Sure.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think back end, if you just need those threes and steals, he is pretty hit or miss when it comes to threes. Like, he'll have games where he'll hit 5 or 6 of them and then he'll score 3 points on 1 of 9 shooting. So yeah, up and down. We'll do that. Okay, well, let's move to Summer League. I was reading the question. Let's pop it straight up. Who had a worse night last night? Cam Whitmore against the Piston or Ingrid Andress?
I mean, it's not Cam Whitmore. Like, it's just not. I mean, it was a bad Summer League game, sure. Like, I don't even know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but nobody's watching Summer League in comparison to watching the Home Run Derby and then watching like clips of the national anthem on social media. So yeah, I think this is a pretty easy one.
Yeah. Even nine times out of 10, I would go Ingrid Andress. Who's that? But even I know who Ingrid Andress is.
If you would have asked me this question yesterday, I would have had no idea.
No, neither would I. But it did pop up in my feed. And of course I clicked through and watched it. It was, it was hard to watch. I don't really know what was going on there, but I would say, well, look, I mean, yeah, she had the worst night, but we're talking about her. People know who she is. I'm just some guy sitting in Australia who now know who Ingrid Andress is. So
she also apparently said that she was drunk and she is getting herself help. So I think, I mean, Cam Whitmore didn't have an alcohol excuse, I guess. So I guess that does even the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I did watch that. We've just.
Yeah.
I did watch it, and I was watching it and thinking, is she under the influence of something? Like, I didn't know what it was, but it, because she's a four-time Grammy nominee. I think I read that somewhere in a description, and you figure she's got to be a good singer if you're singing and getting nominated
for right. Grammys.
In theory, you've got to be a good singer. So, it was an off night for her and hopefully getting some help. Probably shouldn't have been out there in the first place. But, yes, Cam Whitmore was 1 for 15 and 0-4-5 from 3. Bad night for Cam if we get serious. But, I mean, look, this happens. It's Summer League. We're obviously not concerned here at all in terms of what Cam did. He'd been playing well before that, so... but look, I mean, staying on the Rockets and someone that I did want to talk about today was Reid Sheppard, who came into Summer League as one of the more hyped guys in a draft that, I don't know, average draft, I suppose, if we want to put it that way. He's looked really good so far. I'm surprised they've actually played him in three games, and maybe he is done now. I don't know. Whether they'll just say, hey, we've seen enough. I guess, what are your thoughts on Reid Sheppard? Like, is this what you expected from him? And do we see a role for him, a significant role, once the season starts? Or are there simply too many mouths to feed there in Houston?
I don't think I'm surprised that he's continued to play. I think that he's a rookie, so he's probably going to play the whole summer, even if he is awesome, barring an injury, just because, like, leading into your second question, I guess, there probably isn't going to be a ton of minutes for him this year just because of how much talent they have. Now, if he's just simply better than Jalen Green or playing better than Cam Whitmore or these other guys in the rotation, like, there will be minutes for him. But I don't think that that's something that's going to happen from day one. If it does, then the league better watch out, because obviously this guy's going to be a star. And he does have that potential. We loved the numbers in college, and he's looked phenomenal so far. It's on draft night, when last minute rumors where the Hawks were deciding between Reid Sheppard and Zachary Risacher, I was getting my hopes up. And he's already proving why, like, he should have been taken more seriously from the jump. I mean, there's a reason he went 3, but I think, I mean, there's one of a lot of people's favorite prospects. So it's been fun to watch, but yeah, I think just the amount of depth they have there, it's hard to imagine him getting more than like 20 minutes per game. And I think that would be like best case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. Going to be tough. I think if it was 2-3 years ago, there'd be more of a path there, but now that the Rockets are actually competitive and have sort of visions of making the playoffs, so I would assume this year that that's probably their goal. Then to start the year, it's probably a minimal role. But look, maybe they get some injuries, or maybe they just figure out we need him defensively on the floor a bit more. I don't know. We'll see. But he has looked really good. Yeah. Sticking in Houston, and we'll have – well, actually, I've got someone I want to talk about. But this is where that initial comment was going regarding Cam Whitmore. Does it open the door for AJ Griffin to overtake him at all? Like, so do you see Griffin moving ahead of him in the rotation at any point?
I don't. I think, like, there's a chance. I'm not going to say no, but I don't see that happening. I think this was a very bad shooting night for Cam Whitmore, but he has been good in summer league aside from that game. And he's actually, through three games, he's shooting 38%. Or 38.3, and AJ Griffin's shooting 37.8%. So neither of them have shot well overall this summer, though Cam Whitmore's numbers were obviously brought down by a 1 of 15 night. I think he's looked so good overall this summer. I guess last game was bad. The first two, I thought he looked great. Just some of the dunks he's had makes him look like he shouldn't be playing summer league. He's too good. And I think also just a way of looking at it is, they spent a first-round pick on Cam Whitmore and were potentially going to take him at four that draft. They just gave up basically nothing to bring AJ Griffin in. So I think they're going to value Cam Whitmore, give him more opportunities than they would AJ Griffin. And also just bad shooting nights in summer league aren't going to deter a team from giving a guy minutes, especially somebody they spent a first-round pick on. So no, I'm not worried about Cam Whitmore's spot in the rotation based on AJ Griffin. It's more about how healthy is everybody else and how is he in comparison to Tari Eason, Jabari Smith, Dylan Brooks is obviously still there soaking up minutes, which isn't fun for fantasy, but yeah, a lot of other guys to be concerned about as far as Cam Whitmore's minutes, but AJ Griffin isn't one of them.
And then final guy in Houston that I wanted to talk about is Orlando Robinson. Mm. So he was let go by Miami, and this will actually take us into our next question. But he was let go. The Rockets picked him up. They've given him some good run. I think he's looked good, and I was surprised. I know why the Heat let him go, but it was surprising. Just given, I think what we've seen from Orlando Robinson in the past, I think he's a guy that can be a solid enough backup. And he's played three games so far in summer league, double digit points in all three. He had a 22-15 game. Yeah. Look, it's limited. It's summer league. I get that. But do you see a role for him? Because obviously Şengün's the starting center. There's no question there. Who's the backup? Is it Robinson? Can he step into the role? Landale is still he's still there, isn't he?
Yeah, sure. And so is Steven Adams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. All right, so does he have a role? Like, and I mean, Steven Adams, God, I wonder what they're going to do with him. That's a whole other discussion. But, yeah, I don't know. Orlando Robinson, he's someone that I think has a future in the league anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Did he sign with Houston, or is he just playing summer league with them?
Let me have a look.
I think he may just be playing summer league with them. So maybe if him playing well gets him an opportunity somewhere else. Based on what I'm quickly scrolling through after a search, I'm not seeing him signing a contract with Houston.
No, so I can't see him signing.
Yeah. So anywhere, if he's in Houston, then no, I don't think there's enough minutes for him, at least anytime soon. Now, obviously, Steven Adams isn't young, coming off an injury. So maybe eventually, if they just keep him around, if they want to, if he wants to be there. But if not, like, he's played well enough this summer that maybe he does earn a two-way somewhere else that needs center depth a little bit more. Mm. And then he can work his way into a role. But no, I mean, it's good to see him play well. Hopefully, at least it's something for him, but probably not in Houston.
And then Gibbo asks, thoughts on Khalil Ware. Look, he's been okay, I think. I haven't watched a lot of him to this point, but I mean, he's, well, one of the reasons, if not the reason, that Miami actually let Orlando Robinson go is because they drafted Khalil Ware. He started, I think he's looked pretty good offensively. His first game, I think from memory, rebounding wise, I think he had like two rebounds or something. he needs to be better than that on the glass. What do you think his role is here? Like, are they bringing him in and are they envisaging him playing alongside Bam, with Bam at the four?
So just looking at his numbers, just to kind of go through that. First game, he had 12.6 boards and 5 blocks. Second game, he had 26 points, 11 rebounds, but I think that was against a non-NBA team.
Yeah.
And then he had a 17-3-rebound game with 3 blocks, and then an 11-12 double-double in their last game against the Thunder. So I think that they might experiment with a lineup with him at the 5 and Bam at the 4. I think that could be a lot of fun defensively and pretty good rebounding. But I think for the most part, his minutes will be just when Bam isn't on the floor. But I like, again, like, they do have the versatility where I think they could make it work at times, and we'll just have to see how much Eric Spoelstra likes it or not. But I think he's looked good so far. That the numbers also look great. So I'm excited about it. It's another guy that when the Heat get him, like, the last few first round picks that they've made, or at least top 20 picks, have all been really good. I think they've made like it's past 9 years, 3 picks before where 3 picks in the top 20, and it was Hawkes, Hero, and Bam. So they have a pretty good hit rate when they're given an early pick. So hopefully this one works out.
I mean, sticking in Miami, I don't think we need to talk about Jaime Hawkes. He's obviously, he shouldn't be playing summer league. I mean, that's a quote. We don't need to repeat that. It's an annoying quote. I think he shouldn't be too good for summer league. But he's done what the Heat would have wanted him to do, and that's dominate. Yeah, I don't think we sort of need to talk too much about him because we saw enough from him last year to know that he's going to be a rotation player for them. Someone who only played one game, and I'm assuming will probably only end up playing one game, is Jaden Springer for the Celtics. They managed to land him last year basically for nothing. The Sixers, I don't know whether they gave up on him or... From memory, I think Sixers fans weren't too happy with the fact that they just let him go. Boston fans, on the other hand, were very happy to just have him sitting there on the bench. He looked really good in his one game that he did play. He had 23 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 rebounds, 3 threes, 100% from the line. Obviously, it's summer league, so the stats are always going to be... you're not going to sort of look at him and go, this translates to the NBA. But what do you think his role looks like this season? Are they going to try and get some minutes into him? They're basically rolling out the same lineup. Why wouldn't you, given you're coming off a title run? Does he figure at all? And dynasty-wise, what are his sort of prospects, I suppose?
Dynasty-wise, he's still a stash. I think he's a talented player. He showed it in his singular summer league game. Right now, it's just about opportunity for him. That's just not there in Boston. It's just not with the amount of talent that they have and like in their core 6 guys. And then they also have Peyton Pritchard. So there's not a ton of guard minutes to go around. Could they like sprinkle him in a few minutes here and there when they want him to contribute a little bit defensively? Sure. Like they have the flexibility to do that, and in blowouts, obviously he'll play. But for the most part, no, I just don't think that there's enough minutes in Boston. If he was elsewhere, then it could be a big season or a fun season for him, but not in Boston.
All right, scrolling. Anyone in particular sort of front of mind for you that has stood out or has been either underwhelming or overwhelming compared to what we expected coming into summer league?
This is a bit of a deep cut, but AJ Mitchell, who the Thunder drafted in the second round, has been phenomenal. The guys at Angle Fantasy Basketball were hyping him up to me a little bit and got me on the bandwagon before the draft. And then I was a little disappointed he went to OKC because of the amount of like talent and depth that they have there. But so through 5 summer league games, averaging 16.4 points, 4.6 assists, 1.6 steals, 1.2 threes. And I think he had a double-double, an 11-10 double-double. He has 2 21-point games. Mm-hmm. Not a guy that's going to be probably contributing much in year one, but it's just another guy that the freaking Thunder are going to draft and just looks like he's going to be a really good player. So at some point they're going to have to like either make trades, because I'm sure Sam Presti's smart enough to do it well in advance that there won't be an issue, but they're going to like go into a training camp with like 20 guys that were drafted in the last few years and are talented enough to be on a roster and have to make legit cuts. But they'll probably make trades to not have that be an issue, but he's looked really good so far. And I'm excited to see, you know, if he's able to crack the rotation or if he's just in the G League this year and just plays well there. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on.
Someone else who is probably done for Summer League, and rightfully so, Keontae George for the Jazz, played two games and scored 30 points in both games. Look, we're assuming he'll start this season. He'll be the starting point guard, given that's the role he sort of had last year, or at least down the stretch. What do you think this season, fantasy-wise, is he... He's someone we need to draft. I think we're just opportunity alone warrants a roster spot on a standard league, in a standard league. But how high do you think we have to go to get him? And what's his sort of ceiling here, I guess, because he's obviously a point guard, doesn't seem to have probably the assist upside that some others do, but he's going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to get assists. I don't know. What do you think about Keontae George for this season?
I think, you know, he showed as a rookie that even if he's inefficient about it, he can score, hit threes. He showed that in his two games this summer that he can score, as you mentioned, 30 points in both games. The assist is something that I think is kind of a long-term question of how he fits in fantasy, how he fits with the team. Is he a point guard or is he a shooting guard? They drafted Isaiah Collier. Could it be that they're going to say, okay, well, we need to figure out if Keontae George is going to be the point guard with Isaiah Collier behind him, or if Isaiah Collier plays well, or Keontae George isn't as much of a playmaker as we want him to be. Is that our backcourt with Collier at the point guard, Keontae George shooting guard? They have so many first round picks on their roster right now that, you know, I think it'll be on top of Lauri Markkanen as well, but kind of a season of them figuring out things again. And potentially a tank at some point, but it's about seeing how these guys continue to develop. But I think as far as where we draft him, I think it depends on your build. If you're punting field goal percentage, then that makes him a little bit more exciting, but he's not giving you defensive numbers. The assists are pretty decent, not great. I'm assuming that'll go up maybe closer to five, but you're getting okay points, pretty good threes. I don't know, like, in the right build, maybe around 100, but and he's young enough that the upside is still there and he could be a lot of fun, but I don't know. I think just looking at the numbers realistically, I don't know how much earlier I'd draft him than 100.
So I just pulled up the draft results from an early mock that we did. And this one, I believe, was before free agency. Not that his role has changed. I think he sort of is who he is and nothing's changed there. But he went at in the 10th round, fourth pick of the 10th round. So what's 10 rounds is 120, so 110-ish. Yeah. That feels about right. I think he'll be, if you look at his numbers from last year, I mean, we don't really look at player rank when it comes to him because he was outside the top 300, but he was a huge negative in steals, field goal percentage, as you said, turnovers as a rookie, not surprising. So I guess we're probably looking at sort of 16 points, 5 assists. I think if he can get up to a steal, and that's probably wishful thinking based on what we saw last year, but if he can get close to a steal, there's enough there for him to be a late round guy. And I, like you said, I think I probably wouldn't go inside the top 100 to get him, but sort of anywhere beyond that is fine, I think. All right. Now another guy that probably had a larger role last season than even the team had thought he would is Scottie Pippen Jr. For the Grizzlies. And obviously they had a lot of injuries. And so Scottie Pippen, GD Jackson, Vince Williams, they all played a lot more than probably the Grizzlies would have wanted them to. But long run, I suppose it exposed them to the NBA. It gave them a good idea of what you need to do to be an NBA player. And Scottie Pippen has sort of built off that momentum, I suppose, that he created last season and taken that into Summer League. And he's looked really good for them defensively. I mean, he's got 16 steals in four games. He scored at least 15 points in all four games. Assists are decent enough. We were just talking about Keontae George having decent assist numbers. Scottie Pippen's had 7, 4, 5, and 5. We know the Grizzlies, well, in theory, they're going to be healthy come opening night, so they're going to have all their guys back. Does Scottie Pippen have a role there at all? And if so, deeper fantasy leagues, I'm assuming, would be the only place to consider him?
Well, I think he'll be a backup guard. You know, I think when John Morant's off the floor, they might also defer to Marcus Smart and Desmond Bane a little bit as lead ball handlers. But Scottie Pippen Jr. is a guy that can come in and handle the ball and play defense. Yeah, I think he'll definitely have a role. As far as how much he impacts fantasy, I think that's entirely dependent on there being, you know, I don't even want to say it for Memphis, but, you know, because I don't want to speak that into existence after the season they just had. But if opportunities arise for him to see more minutes, then yeah, I think he's a guy that has a fantasy friendly game. But I think just, you know, from day one, not enough minutes for him to be a guy worthy of a draft pick outside of course, your 30 team leagues. Will have, of course, everybody's fantasy relevant at that point, but your 12, 14, 16 team leagues, I don't think there's enough minutes there.
Friend of the show, friend of a lot of shows that I'm on, actually, Matt Carmody, do you think Stephon Castle has any value for fantasy this season? I think he's looked decent so far, and obviously Chris Paul is there as well. So, I mean, what does their lineup look like? Are they going to play Vassell at the three, play Castle alongside Chris Paul, or does he simply come off the bench and play as the backup, and then if and when Chris Paul misses time, which I think he's going to, whether it's just because of management or injury or giving him a night off, Castle sort of steps in then and has a bigger role. So is he someone that has sustainable value, or is he just a streaming guy on those nights when he plays a larger role?
I think probably as a rookie, probably just more of a streaming guy, but honestly, I don't know exactly what his role looks like as a rookie at this point, because they added Harrison Barnes, which I don't think we were planning on originally after they signed Chris Paul. So starting 1, 2, 3 is probably going to be Chris Paul, Vassell, Harrison Barnes. And then how much, like, I'm assuming they will give Stephon Castle reps at point guard, but how many are they going to give him early on? Now they kind of have a rotation that should at least be competing for a play-in spot. So how serious are they taking that? Are they prioritizing, hey, let's have postseason experience over, hey, let's have Stephon Castle playing point guard minutes, where they can just say, hey, we're going to, you know, give you reps, but for the most part, you're going to be playing the two, you're going to be playing off ball. Trey Jones is going to be the backup point guard for Chris Paul. Stephon Castle, you're mostly going to be a backup two. If there's injuries, we'll shift you over to point guard, because if that happens, there's not as many assists for him. I think, you know, the shot is always going to be the number one question mark, because if he's able to knock down open shots, that increases minutes, increases numbers. But the steals have been pretty decent this summer. So if he's able to get enough minutes, then I think that there is, you know, he has enough talent that he's worthy of a late round dart throw kind of thing, like last two rounds. But with the way the rotation is shaping out, I'm not as optimistic about him year one.
Yeah, I think it feels like a situation where he could have value over the last 2 months, sort of once we get to All-Star break. And then if the Spurs are eliminated and really just want to get some minutes and playing time into these young guys, and that's when we might see Chris Paul as we've seen the Spurs do in the past, where they will just give their guys, they'll basically alternate. So they'll play one game, miss a game, play one game, miss a game. So they've done that in the past. So it wouldn't be surprising to see them do that with Chris Paul at some point, which would then allow Stephon Castle, Trey Jones, these guys to step into more minutes. So for me, probably a guy just to watch. But yeah, as you said, if you wanted to take a last round flyer on him just to see, because I mean, we don't know, we're not coaches on the Spurs, so we don't know what they're thinking at this point.
Right.
Let's do one more player. Anyone else for you that warrants discussion?
Matis Bouzelis had a really big game and looked really good. I mean, I'm not saying it was perfect, but he did have a pretty big game. I'm trying to pull up the exact numbers. I think he scored 28. Yeah, 28, 5 rebounds, 4 threes against the Warriors. And that was a big thing because he didn't shoot the ball well in the G League, but he was kind of saying like, hey guys, like I can shoot. I had a bad shooting season. It just came at the worst possible time, but I can shoot. So seeing him be able to knock down threes, especially after the first summer league game, he didn't hit any threes, went 0-for-4. Second game, he went 4-for-8. So I'm excited to watch how the rest of the summer plays out for him. Cause I think if Chicago continues to tear down their team, acquire assets, open up minutes, Matis Bouzelis could have a big year.
Yeah. I thought he looked good in that most recent game. And, it's interesting to see what the Bulls do, whether obviously the Zach LaVine contract is the one that's hanging there over their head and they're trying to move him, but limited interest by the sounds of things. So I would like for him not to be there. I guess looking at both sides of the discussion there, for him, I think he needs to move. I think he needs to go elsewhere to sort of reinvigorate his career. And it wouldn't be surprising if just his, I don't know if passion is the right word, but it would have to be a little bit drained just playing on a Chicago team that's really going nowhere when he's theoretically in the prime of his career. So I think if he can go somewhere else, that really helps him, but it then also opens up minutes or clears the path, I guess, for Coby White, Josh Giddey, Bouzelis, as you said, these guys to play more minutes. I've got one more guy I want to talk about, but I'll just pop up Gibbo's question here. Josh Christopher went nuclear yesterday. How do you foresee his future? Dynasty expert Noah Rubin, what are your thoughts on Josh Christopher?
I remember liking him originally when he was drafted. Obviously hasn't panned out for him yet, but Miami hasn't made a ton of moves to bring guys in. They've lost at least a couple guys from the rotation. I know for sure Caleb Martin left. I can't remember off the top of my head who else did, but I think that, you know, if Josh Christopher sticks around the organization, an organization that's been known to develop players, it could work out pretty well for him. He wouldn't be a guy that I would definitely say, yes, the Heat will get the most out of him and he'll turn into a really good player, but it is a pretty good spot. He's probably worth a stash at this point because, yeah, he has played pretty well this summer. So keep an eye on it for the rest of the summer, see how, like, what else comes out in the news as far as his contract situation with the Heat. I don't remember if he, again, like same thing. I don't remember if he signed a contract with him or if he's just joined them for summer leagues. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I do remember when his rookie season in Houston. I think there was, we saw bits and pieces then. Houston, obviously last season were a lot better. So the minutes weren't there.
I think he's just playing summer league with them. I don't think he's on a contract, so I guess keep an eye on that.
But I just pulled up his game log from his rookie season, and which was the 21-22 season. But down the stretch when they were just pumping minutes into him because they were obviously eliminated, he had quite a few double-digit games, had a 30-point game. So, yeah, look, someone to keep an eye on. I think I remember thinking, there's something here, and then he sort of just faded out. He played 2 years in Houston and then wasn't even in the league, I don't think, last year. Did he play for anyone last year?
He was
year?
With Utah for a bit. I believe that was last season.
Yeah, not sure Anyway, but yes, someone to watch. I didn't mind him. Now, the guy I wanted to just touch on is Johnny Furphy. So Australian. I'm going to talk about Australians, of course. But I spoke with Brett Bauer as part of my interview series, and that'll be released, I think, next week or something. But we spoke about the Pacers, obviously, and Johnny Furphy was someone that he – From what he sort of has picked up coming into Summer League and coming into the season, like the vision, I suppose, for Furphy was that this is what Rhett said, that coming into Summer League, he was not going to start. He would come off the bench in their Summer League for their Summer League team. In the 2 weeks, whatever it was, between being drafted and opening night of Summer League, he did enough just in that short period of time to move into the starting lineup. So they started him, and he has started every game. And I was watching a bit of their game this morning. So he had 18 mm-hmm. points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, an assist and a block. He's looked pretty good. He sort of reminds me a little bit of what Christian Brown sort of does in Denver. Like, just a guy you can plug in. He can fill a number of roles. I don't think the minutes are there for him this season. So I don't think, assuming that the Pacers are competitive again and are wanting to win games, I think he'll be in the rotation, potentially not every night. But dynasty-wise, longevity, what do you think about Johnny Furphy?
He was supposed to go lotteries, I guess, like right outside the lottery. I saw like a lot of projections for that. I'm trying to see if I thought I had this bookmarked on Twitter. It was like his shot profile, like laid out percentages of, like, based on his college shots, like where, how they came. Like, most of them were catch and shoots, not a ton off the dribble.
Yeah.
Which made me kind of a little bit, and I can't find it. Maybe I'll try and find it and retweet it or something at some point. But just kind of a limited shot profile in college, which made me a little concerned, like, okay, what does that mean for fantasy? How much of an offensive game does he have? Is he just a catch and shoot guy that helps a team that isn't great for fantasy? I'm not entirely sure. We'll keep an eye on it, but he has looked really good this summer. But back to I saw a lot of people had him in the lottery or just outside the lottery slipping to the Pacers in the second round. It's like, hey, why'd that happen? But at the same time, it's like, hey, he was better than that. So nice pickup by the Pacers. They have so much talent. You know, only a couple like stars, but a lot of very, very good players. It might take him a couple years to develop, but I think long term, I do kind of like him. Not this year. I don't really think, just they already have a young shooter in Ben Shepherd. Benedict Mathurin will be coming back. Aaron Nesmith, obviously, on the wing. Andrew Nimhard. So just not enough minutes for him, but worth keeping an eye on, worth stashing.
All right, and then, yes, we'll do a shout-out to Australia. Josh Giddey, Jock Landale did almost help Australia beat the USA a night ago our time. They sort of came roaring back, and Steve Kerr was sort of had a lot of praise for the Boomers, the way they played. They were quite physical, which I think here as an Australian, and I don't know if we talked about this last week, the fact that they left Matisse Thybulle out of their Olympic team.
We did.
Which I'm still not sure about. But it was good to see them being physical, because I think that's always been coming up against some of these teams like the US and Serbia and these teams that have big centers, big bodies. How do we match up against these teams? But I thought we did it well. And then last night, I haven't watched it yet, but we actually beat Serbia. In the warm up, and then the US play Serbia tomorrow night our time. But we actually beat them. Paddy Mills had 28 points, which was good to see because he's been struggling. There have been news articles here talking about the fact that he needs to be benched for the Boomers, but he typically steps up in these global competitions for Australia. So I'm not surprised that he did go off for 28 points. He's not the player he was, but he's certainly well rested because he doesn't play in the NBA anymore. He just trains a lot. It was good to see. I guess if we 30 seconds on the Olympics. Do you think the US can get it done with the team that they've got?
Quickly, before I talk about the US, remember what I told you last week when you were saying, oh, they shouldn't have left off Matisse Thybulle. I can't believe they had Matthew Dellavedova on the team.
Yeah.
And I said, that's the Steph Curry stopper. And I think Steph only scored 6 points. So
he did.
So that's the Steph Curry stopper.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. We'll see.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's hard. And again, this might not again, but like this just might be a perspective of an NBA fan that doesn't pay attention to international basketball as much. Just looking at the rosters, it's hard to bet against a team that is filled with, you know, future Hall of Famers in the NBA, even if other teams do have technically better players such as Jokic and Luka. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk by any means, obviously only beating Australia by six. When you look at like the rosters, like the Australian players and how they do in the NBA, like the rosters don't really compare, but obviously it's just a different basketball game. I don't know. I haven't really kept up with it a ton. I watched the scrimmage against Canada, and Joel Embiid's the guy to watch. Like, how is he adapting? He needs to adapt his game a little bit more. But I think Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Edwards, they all look phenomenal. So it's going to be hard to beat them.
It is. But as we've seen, the FIBA rules tend to level 100%. The playing field a little bit. Embiid has looked. Yeah, a little bit lost.
Enjoyable basketball.
Yeah, look, it is, and obviously from anyone outside the US perspective, it's enjoyable because it does. If you look at the team simply on paper, the US should win easily, but that is not the case. And I mean, Luka Doncic isn't even there; they got eliminated, so they're not.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that one.
So that just shows you, I guess, how the. A lot of these teams that are there, you look at their roster and go, I know like two players, but they'll compete because they know how to play the FIBA rules. So I think it's going to be a really good tournament. Canada are on the way up. Their team, you basically know every player on their roster because it's full of NBA players. Australia has a lot more NBA players than we did 10 years ago. And then you've got... Germany,
France.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a really fun tournament. So I'm looking forward to it. But that is enough for today. I will let you get out of here. Take me later. What have you got coming up? Another episode this week?
Yeah, missed out on last week because I got lazy. I'm planning to do one this week. Hopefully I don't get lazy again, but just summer league talk. Probably talk about through we did the Tank Me Later rookie draft, so maybe go through that a little bit. That's what it is this time of year. We'll just basketball's being played. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I was actually hoping that Furphy fell to me in that Tank Me Later draft, and he got close. He was did. There, and then I think I went to bed, and when I woke up, it was my pick, and he'd gone a few picks before me, which was. A bit disappointing, mainly because he was the only player that I knew. And so I did message you and say, who the hell do I take here at pick 41 in a rookie draft? And I ended up going with the Pelicans. Was it Reeves, I think, Reeves, from the Pelicans?
Yeah. Antonio Reeves, yeah.
Yeah. And look, he's done some stuff. I just figure that maybe if they get some injuries or something, they just throw him out there to get some threes. So anyway. Yeah. We'll see. That will do. Thanks for the questions. We always love questions. So we'll be back next week. I think we're just going to keep rolling through these shows weekly. I'm sure we'll find stuff to talk about. So remember to like and subscribe. Give us a thumbs up. Head over to our Discord server. B-Dub, I'm sure we'll put the link in the description because I was too lazy to fill in the description. so he'll pop that in there before it goes up on YouTube. He's rolling out slowly the draft-only leagues. I think he's done maybe six so far, and they fill up pretty quick. So I think he just needs to find some time to do some more, and they always fill up nice and quick. So head over there if you wanted to be part of one of those leagues. That will do for today's show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.